If you would grab your copy of God's Word, go with me to 2 Timothy. No, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 will be our text today through 23. Ephesians 4, 17 through 23. You know, guys, as you think about all of the amazing and beautiful creatures that God has made, every creature has its own glory. Every creature has its own wonder about it. That mark that really shows something special about it has God's fingerprints on it. And when you think about perhaps one of the most beautiful and amazing, one of the most glorious and wonderful creatures, one of them has to be the butterfly. Here's a picture of an adult butterfly. This is a monarch. What an amazingly beautiful creature that is. How many of y'all saw those flying around your yard this summer? Did any of you kids catch any? Good. We got some butterfly catchers here. Okay. All right. Guys, here's the deal. You see that beautiful end result right there. And we always have to keep in mind that that's not how that creature started. It actually started like this. That is an egg of a monarch butterfly. Does that look like a monarch butterfly? No. God took it from there and then he transformed it into this. That is a caterpillar of a monarch butterfly. And then God does even more, and he takes a monarch caterpillar, and then it spins a cocoon. Literally, if I understand this correctly, the entire caterpillar in there turns to sludge. And then God takes what's in there and begins the process of forming a butterfly in there, and then the monarch begins to do this. It begins to work its way out of that cocoon. It's actually, guys, that struggle there, and this is a great struggle, and actually it's part of the health of the butterfly that it has that struggle to come out. If it's going to be healthy, it's got to have that struggle out of the cocoon. And then after emerging, here's that finished product again, that beautiful monarch butterfly. What a marvelous transformation. Isn't that amazing that God could take something like that and just make it something completely different? Friends, I want to tell you this morning that God desires to marvelously transform you and me as well. You see, the transformation that God desires to do in our life, it's not as glorious or not as noticeable on the outside like that monarch butterfly. I mean, when it goes from caterpillar to butterfly, you see an astounding transformation, a complete transformation. Outwardly, the transformation that God wants to do in you, you will still look the same. When I was 17 years old, and when the Lord saved me, when he changed me, I still looked the same. In 1997, in the winter, as I did in the spring when the Lord saved me, I didn't change outwardly. My appearance was still the same, but inwardly, I was transformed, the Bible says. And I'm still being transformed, the Bible says. You see, God desires to transform you and to transform me in our spirit. He desires to transform our corrupt spirit into the image of Jesus Christ, who is holy, holy, holy. But now just imagine with me for a moment, If that monarch caterpillar said, I don't want to change. I was born this way. I mean, we would laugh at the caterpillar. Come on, caterpillars. I mean, seriously, come on. Don't you understand that God wants to change you? That you have no idea how beautiful God is going to make you? You have no idea what you're going to be after God transforms you. He's going to take something and do something amazing in your life. But we humans, we often say the very same thing, don't we? I don't want to change. I don't need to change. I like me. I like who I am and what I am. Baby, I was born this way. That's just who I am. That's just how I am. I wouldn't change if I could. In fact, I can't change. We're continuing with our final message in the series, Lies People Believe. And guys, this is one of the lies right now, particularly in our society, that is being thrown out there, and a lot of people are swallowing it. A lot of people are believing what is being put out there. The lie that I can't change. Listen to what God is saying to the person that believes this lie. God is saying, but dear child, I want you to change. And you have no idea how beautiful you will be after you are transformed. Beloved, God wants to change all of us by conforming us spiritually to Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we will be changed from corruption to holiness. That's today's takeaway. Here's today's takeaway. Seek to be changed by God from corruption to holiness. Seek to be changed by God from corruption to holiness. And our text today is Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 23. If you would, stand with me for the reading of God's word, please. God's word says this, beginning in the 17th verse. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They've become callous. They have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here in this word, God not only calls us to be changed, but he also shows us how he wants to change us. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that your word would speak life to us, that it would show us, God, where we fall short, and God would then show us where and how you want us to change. God, we recognize that your word is true. We recognize that it is authoritative. What it says is true is true. There is no falsity in it. It is a divine document sent down from you, Father, spoken through prophets and through apostles to us. It is the very word of God. And so we come today, Father, underneath its authority. Father, help us to change. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, grab your seat. Remember, today's takeaway is seek to be changed by God from corruption to holiness. But before you seek to be changed, guys, I want you to know three truths about change from our text that are very important for us to realize, okay, to set our heart, to set our mind, to make sure we're ready to actually change. And the first truth is this: change will likely be painful. Amen? Have you found that to be true, that oftentimes change is likely painful? God commanded, you see, all of humanity in Leviticus 11:44, and then he reiterates it in 1 Peter 1:16. God says this: you shall be holy, for I am holy. God is holy, and because he is holy, he has called us to be holy, but the truth of the matter is, we are not holy. And so what are we to do about that? The Bible says that we're born sinners, and by default, we naturally walk a path of rebellion against God. Look at verse 17 in our text. Verse 17 in our text says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You see, the Gentiles here, it represents all of the pagan peoples of the world. All the pagan peoples of the world who do not know the one true living God. The Gentiles represent people running after false gods, living under false notions, on a pathway to utter destruction. You see, the Gentiles are who we really all are when we're born, because we are born sinners. God, you see, though, wants us to walk a different path. He wants to change not only our future, he wants to change our destination. He wants us to change the path that we are on, but even more importantly than that, he wants to change us. You see, the problem is not our environment. The problem is not the family that we were born into. The problem is that we were born sinners. And the only thing that can change us is God. And so think about this for just a moment. He wants to change us. But here's the truth of the matter that we're talking about in this one. Change will likely be painful. And let me just share with you just a few reasons here that change is often painful. First, change is often painful because I think more highly of myself than I should. That's one of the reasons that change is often painful, that I think more highly of myself than I should. It's offensive, isn't it? It's shocking when somebody tells us that we need to be changed. That automatically puts us on defense, doesn't it? What do you mean? I need to be changed? You need to be changed, we often say. I'm perfectly fine. I'm a good person. It shocks us. It gets our dander up. The fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that our sin not only puts us in a position for a Savior, but also condemns us to hell where we will experience the wrath of God forevermore. And guys, it's even more offensive and more shocking the longer we have walked as the Gentiles walk. The longer we have been on the pathway, the more shocking, the more offensive the truth is that we are sinners in need of a Savior. You see, most folks, though, let's be honest, would agree with Romans 3:23. Most folks, just through experience, would agree for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, most people would say, you know, that's a little bit offensive and a little bit shocking, but most folks see themselves as at least sinning every now and then, or they might not use the word sin, they might use the word I made a mistake. They at least would admit to making mistakes every now and then, but overall they see themselves as good people who deserve the eternal blessing of God. They may agree with Romans 3:23, but then you pull out Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. What do you mean? I've earned eternal death. I mean, I'm a good person. But listen, even to good people, listen to me very closely. Even to good people, Jesus said this in Luke 13:3. Some of the most upstanding citizens of his day, Jesus said this in Luke 13:3. No, I tell you, unless you repent. In other words, unless you change, you will all likewise perish. It's often, guys, quite offensive to be told that I need to change because I think of myself more highly than I should. Secondly, though, one of the reasons why change is often painful is because I've become habituated in sin. You and I have become habituated in sin. How many of you would agree with me that habits are hard to break? Maybe right now you're trying to break one. All right, it's become a habit. Sin can become a habit too. Just like eating a certain food can become a habit, or smoking can become a habit. Or saying things like interjections like, you know what I'm saying? It just becomes a habit. We say things like that and don't even think about it. Things become habituated in us. You just name the sin and it can become a habit in your life. And given that we are body and spirit, given that we're body and spirit, our bodies, this is an amazing part of the design of God, our bodies get used to the habit, doesn't it? Right? It becomes accustomed to the habit. In fact, our brains actually become rewired to perpetuate the habit. God has designed you in such a way that new sensors and syntaxes and all these other things, whatever else is in the brain, I'm not a brain surgeon, okay? But all those things get rewired in your brain to want more of that thing you keep doing. To get pleasure and a craving for that thing which you are doing. It's like a lot of folks that maybe try to quit smoking. They say the smoking was no big deal. It was, what do I do with my hands? Because they had become so habituated in their hands doing that action, right? Whatever the habit is, whether good or bad, our brains conform to the habit. And that makes change very painful and very difficult. And we know right now there are scientists, probably as we speak, who are trying to figure out if there is a genetic predisposition to certain sins. But let's be honest, it's almost like the chicken and the egg. We don't know, right? I mean, it's a debate. Does that sin come first and then the brain gets rewired to that? Or is the brain wired that way and then a person begins to act that way? We honestly, it goes both ways sometimes, guys. The scientists just aren't sure. But they're often, habits are often painful to change because we become habituated in them. Third, change, guys, is often painful because my identity has become wrapped up in the very thing that God desires to change. Let me say that again. Change is often painful because my identity has become wrapped up in the very thing that God desires to change. You see, you embrace your sin. You delight in your sin. You take pride in your sin. The other day I saw a t-shirt. And the t-shirt said this: I make beer disappear. What's your superpower? You think about that shirt for just a moment. The person that wears that shirt, he is probably proud of how drunk he got last weekend. His friendship networks are all probably likely built around getting hammered. His buddies, they probably give him high fives when they see him because he is a great beer drinker. And they're so proud of him. And he's so proud of himself. His identity has become wrapped up in something that God desires to change. Think about the homosexual community. They do not see themselves as being a person who engages in homosexual activities. They see themselves as a homosexual. It's not what they do, it's who they are. It's become their identity. And in 2015, they're proud of it. They are proud. They have gay pride marches and parties and gay bars. And now at Western Kentucky, we're having gay graduations. Their identity has become wrapped up in something that God desires to change. Their homosexuality has become the defining center of their lives. And so it makes change hard. It makes it painful. And finally, number four here, change is often painful because you may really enjoy that which God hates and wants to change in you. That sin may thrill you, right? You may love it. It may bring you pleasure for the moment. It may be exhilarating to you. Therefore, it may be something that you don't really want to let go right now. I mean, later on, I'll let go of it, you say. Right now, it seems better than God. And to let it go would be painful. But beloved, don't be deceived. God is always, listen to me, God is always infinitely better than whatever sin is tempting you. Whatever sin is calling you to hold on to it. God is infinitely better. But listen, I'm no used car salesman here this morning. I want you to know, although in the end, change will be completely and totally worth it, it very well might be painful. That's the first truth I want you to know as you seek to be changed by God from corruption to holiness. The second truth is this, is that change is possible with God. Now, those are five words right there. Change is possible with God. If we took off the last two words, guess what? We would have to put impossible on there. Because change is only possible. Any lasting change is made possible. Any eternal change, it's only made possible with God. You look how the deck is stacked against you. I mean, Ephesians 4, 17 and 19, it seems utterly hopeless on our own. Look at what it says. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They've become callous. They've given themselves to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Do you see the hopelessness right here? If you were to walk up to a sinner and say, change your heart yourself, it would be impossible. It's like speaking Chinese to them. It wouldn't compute because their heart is calloused. Their mind is darkened. They are latched on to futility in their mind. They're given over to sensuality. I appreciate so much. I love the vividness of what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 13:23. The Lord says this through Jeremiah, can the Ethiopian change his skin? And the answer is no. His skin will be just as dark as it was in the beginning. He cannot change his skin color. Or the leopard, his spots. The leopard cannot take its spots off. And then he says this, then also, you can't do good who are accustomed to doing evil. You see, the truth of the matter is, what comes out of you comes out of your heart. And so the problem is, you need a new heart. Because our heart is by nature, Ephesians 2:3 says that we are by nature children of wrath. We have a darkened heart, a calloused heart. And so what do we need? We need God to step in. You know, Jesus was speaking, and he looked out over some people, and he said to them, talking about the rich man who came to him, and he came to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, I want to be saved, basically. And Jesus said, great, go sell everything you have and come follow me. And the guy went away very sad because he didn't want to give up his possessions. And so the disciples, they were blown away. Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into heaven. And they said, well, if that guy can't get in, how can any of us get in? Here's what God said. Here's what Jesus said. Mark 10:27, with man it is impossible, but not with God. Let me say that again. With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. You say, I can't change. And I say, you haven't let God change you yet. God, when he gets in you and works through you, he can transform you and change you and make you into something new. And he begins with a spiritual heart transplant. That was the promise from God in Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36:26. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you, and will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You need a heart transplant. That's what the Bible says. If you are dead in your trespasses and sins, if you are walking according to the Gentiles as the Gentiles do, you need a heart transplant. You need to be made new through God. And that's exactly what God promises. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what, church? A new what? Creation. A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's why Jesus said in John 3, speaking there, you must be born again. You must be born from above. That old man, that old woman that was born with a sin nature and an enemy of God by nature needs to be reborn. And that only happens by the miracle of the new birth. And that only happens through God. And here's the beautiful thing. People say, well, I can't change. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 gives us a whole list of people who had changed. You see, he was speaking to a church that was full of sinners. They once were that. But notice what he says, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. He says, do you not know that the righteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But here it is, church. Change is possible with God. But were some of you. You were these things, but you're no longer these things. Why? Because God got a hold of you, right? He washed you. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Change is possible. Yes, it will be painful, but it's possible with God for you to change. There is hope for you. Guys, that's one of the reasons why so many people just give in to their, as it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, just give in to their deceitful desires. You see that in verse 22? Put off your old self which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through your deceitful desires. That's why so many people just give in. Because they say, I have no hope of changing. But God can change you. And even if some of those desires are never completely eradicated in your life, here's the truth of the Word of God. God says His grace is sufficient for you to withstand them. That He is faithful. That when that moment of temptation comes, that He'll give you a way out, a way of escape. You are not left without resources. God can change you. Beloved, change is possible with God. Know that as you seek to be changed by God from corruption to holiness. And here's the third and final truth I want you to see this morning. Change is a process. Change is painful. A change is possible with God. And finally, change is a process. And I want to show you the steps here. I call this the five R's of the change process right here in Ephesians chapter 4. I see five R's here of the change process. The first one is this, is recognize the futility of ungodliness. This is not in your notes, so if you want to take notes, write this down. Recognize the futility of ungodliness. Ephesians 4:17 says that the Gentiles walk, those who are godless walk in the futility of their minds. We often talk about those who are searching for something. They are starving for something. And they don't know what it is. They're searching but never finding. They latch onto something that they think will give them happiness, that will give them life, give them hope, and it only vanishes. It only leaves them broken. And so they try to find something else. They keep constantly stuffing in these other things, substituting these other things for God. And it leads them to recognize this is futile. Guys, that is one of the things in 1997 that drove me to Jesus. I was going through a season of life where things that I had latched onto for my hope and for my happiness failed me. And I recognize in that there's got to be something better. There's got to be something lasting. There's got to be something satisfying. And that was God. And God is that for every single person. He has made you for relationship with Him. And I don't know what it is you're searching for, what you're latching onto, but it ultimately ends with God if you'll only find Him and if you'll only latch onto Him. Because here's the truth of the matter. Proverbs 13:5 says that the way of the treacherous is their ruin. I like it in the King James Version better. It says this in the King James Version, but the way of transgressors is hard. Haven't you even found that to be true? Right? I mean, you could stand up and testify right now about how your life has been made more difficult because you are a sinner. And God says that we need to recognize the futility of godliness. And oftentimes it begins with that inner angst. That inner angst. But secondly, the second R of the change process is to receive God's teaching on what is ungodly. Receive God's teaching on what is ungodly. Ephesians 4, verse 20 and 21 says, "But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus." You see, guys, God has revealed to us what is right and what is wrong. The scripture has told us this is sinful and this is not. And we want to rebel against that. I mean, I'm a sociology anthropology major. And one of the great theories that we were taught in that department was that is that truth is socially constructed. That means that it's subjective, that it differs from people group to people group. What you may call truth may not be truth for this other people. That is a lie from the devil. Did you know they tell lies in college? Come on. Listen to me very closely. God has revealed to us, he is our creator, he is our maker. He is our creator, he is our maker, and he has not left us without a witness as to what is right and what is wrong. Truth is not socially constructed. Truth is revealed from God. The question is, will you come under it? Will you receive teaching on what is ungodly? You see, we live in a day and age, particularly through the sexual revolution, where we're throwing off all manner of boundaries that God has placed in our life. And we say, people used to think that, but we don't think that anymore. Guys, God's truth doesn't change. Listen to me very closely. This will not make you popular, but it will make you pleasing to God. If God calls it sin, it's sin. Plain and simple. If God calls it sin, it's sin. If God calls it righteous, then it's righteous. You see, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 through 17 tells us, particularly there in verse 16, focus in on verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is breathed out by God. This is not just a man's opinion. This is not just the social construction of an ancient Near Eastern culture that were called the Jews, okay? This is God's word revealed to us. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. In other words, it's profitable for changing us to be pleasing to God. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every good work. You've got to receive the teaching on what is ungodly. There are cultures around the world that think it's awesome and laudable to steal and to stab one another in the back. But God says that's sin. And if God calls it sin, we should as well. The third R in the change process is reject what is ungodly. Once that angst comes in, once you've been enlightened by the word of God, then that means you've got to come alongside God. You have to confess with God. Did you know that confess literally means to say the same thing as? You and I need to say the same thing as God. We need to reject what is ungodly. Look what it says in Ephesians 4:2. It says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. You say, but I really like that thing. You put it off, you turn from it, and you beg God, and we're going to talk about it next, that he give you a new taste, a new heart, a new mind to see things differently. Reject what is ungodly. I like the way Colossians 3, this is a parallel passage, really, to what's being taught here in Ephesians 4. Notice what it says there, Colossians 3, 5 through 9. It'll be on your screen. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Literally, kill that which is wicked in you. And you get a whole list there. You get a whole list. Guys, if there is any wickedness in you, God desires for you to reject that, to renounce that, to repent of that, turn from that. And then fourth, the fourth R is to rejoice in the renewal of your mind. You see, here's the truth of the matter. Righteousness is often an acquired taste. You know what I'm talking about? Right? I mean, when you first come to Christ, you still have a foot in the world, right? You still want to do the things the world does, and what the world does, what you used to do, still feels right. But God, through His Word and through His Spirit, is transforming you, giving you new tastes, new desires, new motivations. And you begin to have your mind transformed. Now listen, my mind is still being transformed, but it's amazing as I think back on what I used to love. And what I used to stand for. And what I used to debate for. I love to debate people. I still do, I guess. But I used to love it. And I would take stances that I would argue against all day long now. Why? Because God has renewed my mind. And guys, He will renew yours. He will help you to think differently. Look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. That's what He's aiming at. Your mind. He wants to change the way you think. He wants to change the way you think, because if you change the way you think, then you will live differently. You will live a life that pleases Him. Romans 12:2 is a classic passage of Scripture that talks about the transformation that comes through this. Through your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How, church? By what? The renewal of your mind. Say renewal of your mind. I need to do like a choir, right? That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And here's the final R. Replace ungodliness with godliness. You feel it. You see it in the Word of God, what is right and wrong. You begin to reject that which is ungodly. Your mind, God continues to transform your mind so that you not only reject it, but you're glad that you reject it. And then you replace it right here. Replace ungodliness with godliness. Ephesians 4:24. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. God isn't calling you to just quit cold turkey. God is calling you to replace that which is ungodly with godliness. And we get a great list here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 through 7 says this, "And you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And there is not a Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, a Scythian, a slave free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then." Here's that replacement, guys. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts." If you look earlier in Colossians chapter 3 there, you saw malice and wrath, but here He's calling you to put on compassionate hearts. Kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. These are the things that God wants us to put on, to replace that in our life that is wicked. And above all these things, verse 14, "Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." If you want to write out a list, what do I need to put on? Just make that list right there. And then on that list, draw an arrow, and on that other side, what is the opposite of those things? The opposite of these things here in Colossians 3, 10 through 7 is what God wants you to take off, what God wants you to reject. And these things right here is what he wants you to replace them with. The Bible says, God promises that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You are not yet what you will be. You are still, if you think about the life cycle of that butterfly, you are still emerging from that cocoon. But he has begun. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. And he is making you glorious. He is conforming you to Jesus. And one day when he comes back, the Bible says you will be perfectly conformed, glorified to the image of Jesus. I want to invite you this morning, the first step to sum all of this up is turn from sin and trust Jesus. That's the first thing you need to do if you want to be transformed. Remember, it's impossible without God. It's impossible without Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I invite you this morning today to begin this change process by giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. You see, your sin deserves condemnation, but God created you for holiness. And if you will give your life to Christ, that process will begin. And you'll experience all the blessing that he has promised. Here's my final prayer. May God take you as you are and gloriously transform you into the very image of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that we would not be slack in figuring out, God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, how you want to change us. Father, I pray that none would take offense to that. You do want to change us. Not because you hate us, but because you love us. Not because you think that we're worthless, but because you have placed so much worth on us. Father, you love us despite us. And even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. But he doesn't want to leave us there. Father, thank you that he has not abandoned us to what we are naturally. But he desires to take us and transform us, to redeem us through Jesus Christ. Father, this morning, I believe with all my heart there is at least one person here that needs Christ as their Savior. Father, this morning I pray the Holy Spirit would call them to faith, call them to salvation, and they would say yes. Father, and I know that every other person here, if they're already in Jesus, they still need to be more like Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us even now to commit ourselves to that change process lined out there in Ephesians 4. Because we want to be more like Jesus. We want to be perfect. We want to be pleasing. So, Father, help us. As we respond, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would touch our hearts and show us, Lord, if there be any wickedness in us. And Father, call us to change. And I pray we would devote ourselves to changing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.